Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast this week. Joining me is a actor and I'm going to still call you a comedian. I think we crossed paths as a comedian. Linus Phillips, welcome.
Hi.
Star of the movie that's out right now called Manson Family Vacation, produced by the Duplass brothers, starring Jay Duplass and you as brothers. It's on Netflix. It's very funny. You play an adopted brother who is kind of a free spirit, for lack of a better term, compared to Jay's character.
Mm-hmm. And I'm good at playing free spirits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Did you? But you've got a history with Jay, and talk about sort of how you came to be in that movie, and what is it about that movie that you really liked, in terms of the part and the overall story.
Well, I mean, main reason I'm in the film is I kidnapped Jay's daughter.
And smart.
Yeah, and I did not
harm her. I hope you're listening out there. That's how you make it in Hollywood.
I did not harm her in any way. And he was like, look, I appreciate that, and I got a movie. No. Well, I got involved in it because of Jay Davis, the writer, director. But he emailed me about another film that he maybe wanted me to direct because he saw this movie I directed called Bass Ackwards.
Yeah.
And I was like sitting in my apartment. Like,
and that was about a relationship that kind of going Bass Ackwards. There's a guy that sort of...
kind of like this guy is with someone who's not really available and then it's not going anywhere. And then he's just like gets kicked out of where he's living and he goes on a road trip. It's like a very kind of mellow, meditative road movie, but with like bookended by this relationship stuff. And then he meets this guy on the road, actually played by my friend Jim Fletcher, who's like a you know, a very busy theater performer, amazing, brilliant man, brilliant human. And I actually had someone else who was maybe going to be the buddy in that film, that I was going to meet at some point on the road, and then that didn't work out, and Jim like flew like 2 days later. I called him and I was like, when are you free? And I'm like, and he said Tuesday. I said, on Tuesday we'll be in Minneapolis, can I fly you to Minneapolis and then we can figure out a movie together? And he did that. It was like so improvised, it was nuts. But like a lot of the scenes we shot in Minneapolis and then I guess Wisconsin, I think those were all like really great, and all that stuff made it in.
And do you...
But anyway, so... Yeah, so...
No, go ahead.
But, so Jay Davis had seen this film and, you know, said he was friends with Jay Duplass and, you know, they had he worked on a short film together and then, you know, like... But then it basically he dropped that script and started writing this one and he said, I want you and Jay to be in it. And I was like, great, you know.
It's not like you're going to say no to that, right?
I mean, it's like... No, I mean, it was also such a maybe. It was like, do you want to do this film at some point? And it's like, yeah sure.
Yeah, what actor's going to say no to that, right?
Yeah. But it was like, I think about how little I've auditioned, and it's kind of stupid. I wish it was like a skill I was better at or I had done it more, but...
Yeah, but that's how it works. I mean, you start to become part of a troupe, you know? Like, I mean,
and if you don't audition, you have to do something. That's what my friends and I say. And so it's like, okay, I worked and, like, talked through the script with this guy for 2.5 years, you know? And, like, kind of kept this on the back burner for that long. So in some ways, I earned it. Yeah. That's in some ways harder than auditioning.
Didn't you do something where you were sort of on a road trip with Werner Herzog?
Yeah, I walked. I
walked
from Seattle to Los Angeles in the hopes of meeting him. It's like an homage to him because he's gone on lots of long walks and thinks it's kind of like very important for filmmakers to do. And I was at this crossroads in my life and wanted to be a filmmaker. I'd only done kind of comedy and acting and some theater stuff. And
what was it about filmmaking that was pulling you in that direction? Or what was it about comedy and acting that was not fulfilling you?
Well, comedy, I don't know. I don't think I had a good enough self-awareness. I thought I was like, could do some really good, interesting things, stuff I was proud of. But then, I don't know, when I was doing comedy here in like 2002.
Here in New York.
2003. I don't know, it felt like there was people doing alternative stuff, but like, I mean, I'm sure there's people doing stuff like me, you know. I feel like Andy Blitz and Alex Karpovsky when he was still performing, and some other people, like, but I was trying to do something, like, very experimental, and I don't know, I don't think I had a
handle. Almost in the vein of Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, and people were, but, like, it was, like, more like Andy Kaufman light, which I think is good, you know, you can't do that. Like, he was kind of insane.
And you can't, you really can't mimic any other artist, especially that guy.
Yeah, you can't. So I
think
I'm
going
to
be Picasso today, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, some people do, like, Picasso stole from everybody. But I don't know, so I was just, like, I felt like I was, like, didn't quite fit in, because I didn't really want to, like, do improv or do, like, work with someone else.
It's daunting, isn't it? Because as a comic and an actor myself and trying to find your voice, it feels like you're really, really hungry and there's this crazy menu with all of these choices and it's like, who should I be?
Yeah, and you don't know.
And the answer has to circle back to you should be you, but there's this temptation to be, oh, well, I like some of George Carlin and I like some Andy Kaufman and I like Woody Allen as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and it just takes time, and then, like, you know, stage time and stuff, and, like, or talking to a friend or collaborating, if even if you're doing whatever, sketches.
But even as an actor, right? Like, it's, I know,
define what you're good at.
Yeah, it's crass to use this term, I know, but your brand, or, like, your, right? Like,
it's true. Like, I see it, like, some, everyone tries to do it. I did, like, an acting class in LA, and, like, people try to do it. Like, oh, I'm, like, I'm the tough guy who's a little bit slow or something. Like, you know. You can see it on people, but it's just like if you tell people that's your thing, I don't know, sometimes it can just backfire.
Yeah.
You know, but then you feel, you see people like, oh, she's like a cool, smart, sassy black lady. And that's a fucking cliche, but that's who she honestly is.
Yeah.
And she's killing it.
Yeah.
She'll kill any scene she's in if she's like tapping into her brand or her shtick.
Right.
So I think it is hard, you know, hard. It took me a long time.
So you were on a path to figure out, am I a filmmaker, am I an actor, am I a comedian?
Yeah.
And if so, what am I within that?
So I do think I have a big range, and I was just like, I'll just, like, turn into, like, a camera guy and filmmaker, because that's not really working for me right now, like, performing. I just didn't really, I stopped for a long time. But then when I was, like, after being in Seattle, I went back to Seattle again. I basically learned how to make films, the Walking to Werner film. I made a film about homeless people. I made that narrative film, Bass Ackwards. I did a little bit of acting. But
were you missing acting or feeling depressed that you weren't doing it? Was it a relief that you weren't doing it?
I never really thought of myself as an actor, actually, like the being a creator. Whether it's like creating like a little bit that you do on stage at a comedy place or like a one-man show thing or writing, you know, or like the Manson film was really a like a perfect storm of things. It was like, because I was a writer on the film, a co-writer, and it was just like performing this like real personal side of me. And it felt like when I would do comedy things, it would be like, okay, some concept or something weird, okay, and this is gonna happen, but it was really like expressing something super emotional for me all the time, which is also hard to repeat. You know,
yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know? So anyway, so the Manson film was like you know, because I was doing writing, I was performing, it was like, you know, a lot of the different things I had been doing, I guess, for the past like 15
years. So it's weird, it's almost like opportunities present themselves as a result of. You're getting, you don't know it when you're in it, but you're sort of preparing yourself for this opportunity.
And yeah, and you're preparing yourself for something that's,
it's great,
like,
how life sometimes works. Jay and I, Duplass, were talking on a different podcast about like feeling desperate and how do you not feel desperate, or if you do, like, does it all work out? And sometimes things do actually work out.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary how lucky, like, and how, like, that's now in this next, like, few years of my life. It's like, I'm not going to leave as much up to luck, you know? Because I got on, I had this awesome break being on Eastbound and Down.
Yeah, talk about that, the Shaunti character.
Yeah, I just,
you did as a performance piece, this character. Explain it to people.
Well, it's just, like, a really bad comedian, and I kind of felt like, oh, that's, like, my...
But describe him in more detail.
Oh,
really.
Well, sometimes he has a hearing impairment, and he keeps asking if, like, everyone can hear him on stage, you know, and he'll, like, ruin his jokes, like, the punchlines will get mixed up, like... like, what do you call a bipolar bear who one second is all nice to you and then the next second he's trying to attack you? You call him a bipolar bear. And then sometimes if the audience is really smart, you know, sometimes I don't even have to say, like, the tag where it's like, oh, wait, did I say polar bear and bipolar? Oh, fuck, you know. But you can, you know, it's, like, so great. The audience just, if they're with you, then you're just like, you go on. You just keep making the mistakes.
Yeah. They're getting the character.
Yeah, they just want to see it.
That's great.
So,
and it got seen by the director.
Yeah, like, I was living in Seattle and kind of...
That's where you were doing the character?
I had just open mics there, like, at this, like, back of a Thai food restaurant. Mm. Like, this horrible open mic.
Yeah, Jai Thai.
Jai Thai, right? Yeah. And, I mean, sometimes it's a good show, and they do a good job, but sometimes it's just dead and no one's there.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of open mics. And I would just go up and pretty much bomb on purpose. It was such an empowering.
And you were bombing. Like, people weren't getting that it was a...
No, it took a while.
Because it's kind of meta, and they weren't getting.
Yeah, and if they just thought I was that guy, because I love to do it so realistically.
Right.
So it's kind of a weird thing. It only works if, like, a few... It works best when a few of the comics know what you're doing and like you, and then, like, a bunch of people don't know. So they're enjoying... The people in the back who get it are enjoying the fact that the people in the front don't quite get it.
But then
I try to work in some jokes that aren't totally horrible. Right. So it's like people can enjoy it a little bit or something.
You give them a little. So they filmed some of these, I guess.
I filmed it on a VHS camera and showed to my friend Todd Rohal. And he is good friends with David Gordon Green and one of the directors who works on
this. Did you show it to him with the idea of maybe somebody seeing this and getting cast?
No, just for fun.
Just for shits and
giggles? Just because I wanted to make Todd laugh. Like, I was, like, really tapping back into this comedy. My love for, like, just, like, what is going to make me laugh?
Yeah, you know? And make you feel happy and fulfilled.
Yeah, and I probably really needed to after this breakup, and, like, I didn't know what I was doing. I was writing scripts, though. I was learning how to write scripts, because after Bass Ackwards, which was so improvised, I learned a lot about structure and, like, how to make a movie work without having a plan.
What was the hardest thing about getting your head around in terms of you've talked a couple of times about learning how to make a film? You mean in the edit process and how to be a good editor, or how to make sure you get the shots that you need so that you have options?
Just like story, picture stuff, like what makes a good story. You know, like, I came from making documentary stuff after being an actor, but as an actor I never thought about story. Like, what's so brilliant about Jay is, like, he's, like, an amazing screenwriter and an actor at the same time. So he's, like, pumping story while he's acting and stuff. And he and Mark, that's what they're just so brilliant at. People talk about the improv thing, but it's not improv. They don't improv, like, little cutesy moments or, like, you know, oh, I'm being charming and clever.
Right.
They're fucking improving story, and they're making your script way better than it could have ever.
But they're starting with a set of lines for a scene, and then and remaining true to that scene and the objective of that scene, but improvising within it.
Well, it's just like, you know, what's best for the story? If I'm, like, actually really happy here for you, that's for your character or something. That's better, because that shows that my character, when like, you know, his character in the movie is, like, deciding whether to come back for him or something. You know, it's just like, he's like, that's higher stakes. So it's like little tiny moments.
Right.
It's like, it's not just like, oh, I want to act like I'm excited for you, or I'm going to act like I'm coming down on you and jealous just for the fun.
Yeah, no, it has to fit the story and serve the purpose.
Just because I feel like it. I have feelings, you know. But, I mean, that stuff is powerful, you know. And sometimes actors just kind of have that intuitively.
Right.
Yeah, they were very sharp that way. But so, yeah, I mean, I just made this tape on VHS of Shaanzi bombing and doing, you know, horrible, dirty, bad jokes.
How'd you come up with the name?
Actually, it was from my friend Ricky came up with that name. Ricky Campbell.
Sounds like you're from Boston. It sounds like a Boston. Shaanzi. Like, it's like one of your friends that hangs out in the...
I think it's almost something like a character like Peter Sellers in Being There, like Chauncey.
Oh, okay.
It's almost some character that's like... I don't know, he's just sort of magical, even though he's, like, slow or something.
Yeah.
I think that's what Ricky was going for. But, yeah, he's from Massachusetts, too, so probably. But we did a short called Bad Penny that he directed and I acted in, and it was basically this character, because I did versions of this character for years. He used to be called Remus, but his remiss is slower. And so, like, basically I wanted to start doing him maybe on stage, and so I just kind of turned the dial up of, the intelligence and made him, like, kind of dirtier and, you know, less innocent. And so then Ricky kind of used that and put my character into his movie.
Do you find when you make these shorts or these films that you get to a point sometimes where you're like, boy, I wish more people would be seeing this stuff. Like, it would get more exposure. I mean, I would imagine you do a little bit. Like, I mean, clearly there's an artist in you, but I think in all of us, but you also want, you know, to... I think that seems to be happening now for you, but, like, leading up to that, was it hard to kind of, like, do... You know, it's the same thing with stand-up. Like, you do it, and, like, 100 people see it, 150 people see it, and you have a great set, and you're like, man, I wish, like, a million people could see it.
Oh, well, that's why I don't like live performing. I mean, God, it's heartbreaking. Like, my girlfriend works for the dance theater company. It's just, like, they do these shows that, like, only, you know, like, 1,000 people see or something.
Yeah.
And if they, depending on how many cities they get to tour, and it's heartbreaking. But that's what's beautiful about live performance, but I can't.
Yeah,
I'm not, you know, I've been too impractical for too much of my life, so, like, I don't, if I'm just doing stand-up, I like the way Jenny Slate talks about her goals doing stand-up. She just does it for her.
Yeah.
I mean, she's, like, successful as an actor, so people will go see her do stand-up, but she's not trying to put out an album or something.
Right.
That feels like more how I think about it. Like,
how have you been, like, impractical just, most of your life?
You know, just not having enough work,
not having
no jobs,
plan.
No plan. You know, I'm just like, I'm going to be an artist someday, but, like, or I'm just going to keep at it. It was just basically a dedication. Like, I'm not going to stop.
And how were you supporting yourself through that?
I'm barely. I mean, my dad has helped me a lot in times of trouble. Mm-hmm. It's embarrassing. I'm almost 40. And it's
all right.
Yeah, it's horrible. But, I mean, I just shot a movie called Rainbow Time, which is, like, kind of the origin story of this Shaanzi character.
And, it's your whole character?
It's like just that character for the whole movie.
A feature length?
A feature with, me and, you know, it's the me and my brother, basically, that story, and his girlfriend and me trying to help their relationship. So it's kind of like a three-way love
and
triangle.
And you wrote and directed this?
I wrote and directed it.
Wow.
And I just acted in it.
What'd you shoot it on?
Just a Canon C300.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So low budget.
Super low budget, but I think it'll be good.
Get some interns, volunteers, people
to
help out, all that
just,
stuff.
You know, we paid people a little bit, you know.
Yeah. Where'd you shoot it?
In L.A. Yeah,
oh, nice.
I just finished. My plan is to edit that, submit to some film festivals, then just get a job. And, like, I feel like I'm, like, ready to retire for a little bit.
Get a job as a director, as a writer, as a performer, as an actor.
As an editor, probably. I'll probably try to get some day job.
Is that where most of your training is, as an editor?
No, but I got pretty good at it. Like, I've done...
You can do Avid or Final Cut or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, Premiere mostly. But
yeah.
But maybe directing for higher stuff. You know, there's a lot of things going on in New York.
So you grew up blue-collar in Boston. I grew up blue-collar in Rhode Island, in Providence. And... or what some people like to say, Boston Light.
Right.
And yet you're sort of an artist almost in an avant-garde way, which is kind of interesting. And normally, in my mind, people coming out of the blue-collar upbringing don't have that part to their brain.
Yeah,
I don't mean that in a bad way.
I don't seem like
you know what
from
I mean?
Boston, right?
No, when you said Boston, well, I mean, just because you're light-skinned, you look Irish, I don't know if you are Irish, but not, I mean, normally when you're someone's sort of avant-garde, like, their parents are both psychologists or psychiatrists, or one's a mathematician, you know what I mean? Like, it just, your dad was an electrician, my dad put floors in for a living.
Yeah.
Are you very different from other people in your family, or where did this sort of artist gene come from?
My mom is a painter.
Oh,
and she
go.
Exposed me to a lot of stuff. Like, we'd listen to NPR in the morning every day, going to, you know, school and stuff. She was very supportive and a sweetheart. She still is. But she, you know, she paints pretty traditional oil paintings, watercolors. She has her style. But I don't know. I guess it probably comes something deeper just about
who you are.
It's like, the abstraction and looking at things in quotation marks seems just like that's kind of where all the epiphanies have come from. Like, you know, like I remember my uncle making some joke, like, I don't know, he would do this thing, not my uncle, but some family friend, you know, whenever the women would come around, he'd be like, put them here, like, you know, like, put your breasts there.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, I realized at one point he said the same thing, and it was just like a deja vu moment, like,
yeah.
You know, a year later, it was like the same exact moment, and it's just like, just the absurdity of life, you're just like, wow, this person is like that?
Yeah.
And like, so there's like a certain, like, lack of awareness that makes... I don't know, that can make you be hyper aware and like look at things. So
yeah,
I feel like
it's
that's
kind of
where
I think that's also the being a comedian is good, because you kind of have to, even if you're doing an absurdist act, you have to sort of observe life and then comment on it, and that's makes for great writing as a screenwriter.
Yeah,
I mean, in fact, you said like it's easier acting in a movie. I'm a writer on the project too, but you just don't have that same anxiety going into a screening. Talking about filmmaking, writing, and acting, and so,
oh yeah,
is it different sets of anxiety being an actor versus a screenwriter versus a director? And talk about sort of how what those different types of anxiety are.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, like the anxiety you have as an actor is very, you know, it's like a performer thing.
It's a very personal me kind of.
How
am I coming off?
And you're going to be up there, and you're going to look like an idiot.
Right.
You know, like people. Directors should act at least once, because you can really empathize with what they're going through. Like,
right.
They might just hate that shirt that they have on. And, like, that is a big deal for them, you know? And that you can't hate them about that, or you can't be annoyed that they want to talk about that just because you're losing light.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's a huge thing.
Well, it's a double-edged sword. The very thing that makes a person brilliant can also make them a pain in the ass and nuts. And so a good director knows how to deal with the psychology of that.
Yeah, yeah. To listen to them, but to not be, you know, not to be too dismissive, but
right.
to kind of say it's okay.
Right.
That combo, that balance. But, I mean, as a director, this movie I just shot, it's like, it's so hard because you
feel like the burden of, like, you got to make sure everything and everybody is taken care of.
Yeah.
So it's a completely different set of anxieties.
Yeah.
Right?
But also, you'll be kind of selfless and make wrong choices because you don't want to, like, yell at people to hurry up just so you can get some other insert shot.
Right.
But then you're editing and you're like, I wish I yelled at everyone, you know? It's just like, it's
why was
weird.
I so nice?
Yeah, why was
See,
I so nice?
See, you can't
nice?
Be nice.
Yeah.
You fuck yourself.
Yeah, you got to fight. Like, actually, this, I was rereading a Cassavetes book, who I'm super into, before reading it. It was, like, so cliche. Like,
which book?
I can't remember which one it was. It was, like, but
so
Cassavetes on Cassavetes. It's
okay.
The Bible. That one's amazing. But, but he was talking about fighting, and he learned how in one movie you have to fight for stuff. And he was just so amazing about that. So, such amazing confidence, you know, that was just his personality. And I'm less like that. I mean, I'm sure.
Well, I think people want to be led.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure of what I want, and like I'll talk to people, but it's like that fighting aspect is like a little harder for me. So it was interesting. Like I had we were casting someone who was, I wanted to be younger, and it's easier to cast someone 18 and above who looks younger.
Mm.
And I like had to really fight for it. I was just like,
I had to do that. I shot a pilot that I created, and I was a showrunner, and we had to have a woman, and I wanted this woman, and the network wanted this other woman, which was kind of like, you know, they always have these like lists, their state, like whatever, their who's ever like hot on their list that year or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm telling you, this one. The tape had to be sent on a Sunday to the head of development at her house in Pasadena. And she went, yeah, let's go with the one that Paul wants. That person is today Casey Wilson, who has been starring in sitcoms for the last 4 years. And
wow.
She was an unknown. She just graduated NYU. And there was just something about her. She had blonde hair then.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like having that conversation in my head. It's like, this happens to me a lot. I use my wife as a barometer. I'm like, how much of a dick should I be here? Because I know in my heart I'm right, but sometimes you win the battle and lose the war, and having to figure out when to really pick those battles and fight.
But you're just going to have that battle later on if the other person wasn't right, and then you're editing around them.
Yeah, and it can't
And then you're paying for reshoots or something.
Yeah, and
you know,
you can't do art by committee. You know what? Like, at the end of the day, there's got to be one person who's the head who fucking makes the final decision. It's their vision, and everybody has to serve that vision. And if you don't trust that person's vision, then you should get rid of that person and somebody else. There's but when you start going like, well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? And then you got four people making a decision.
Yeah.
It never works. So I know what you mean about, like, it's really not on my nature you want to be confrontational either, but there's just times when I'm like, I remember Letterman saying, like, if you're going to fail, fail on your own terms.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that quote of his, and that stood out for me, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's hard. I think, I mean, you asked earlier about wanting to get your stuff seen more.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's okay not getting your stuff seen because you could have done better.
Yeah,
you
know? Ready. Yeah.
Like, so it's okay. I mean, I've been okay with, like, the amount of audience.
Yeah, you need to be, like, in the, you know, kind of AAA ball club working your stuff before you go to the big time and they see you and you work all your kinks and your same thing with stand-up. Like, go be good somewhere else before you go to the big clubs in L.A. and New York to get past or try to get on Leno or whatever the show is, or the Fallon or whatever. And and so you're moving more toward filmmaking, editing, but you'll keep acting when the opportunities present themselves.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm not going to, I don't know. I mean, if people want me to audition, I will. Or I'd rather collaborate with filmmakers and stuff. But, I mean, I'll audition. I need to, you know, it's just like, you know, I just don't want to sound like an idiot. I'm not going to audition, but like...
Do you know who I am?
Yeah. No, I mean, but it's like, I'm not going to get a restaurant job just so I can be free for auditioning every day.
Yeah.
Like, I did that for a while in L.A., and it's just... Jay will tell me, he's like, well, also for some people that could be good, and like,
Jay will tell you what
Jay will say, like, don't do that.
Why?
I mean, he's just like, you're not gonna like break like that, you know, you're just gonna be making your own work
and it's gonna, and you're gonna break that
yeah and then people will want to see you, like, the more of your own work you have, the more people will be able to see it, and the more chances that some of those people want to work with you,
as opposed to doing the traditional thing of, yeah, like, I just went to a workshop last night with a casting director here in the city, you know, you pay, like, $40 and, you know, whatever. And you're essentially to get, and you do go, you're in that sort of, like, machine of, like, you know.
It just takes a lot of time, and, like, I have, like, too many other interests. Like, if I only, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm a good actor, but it's, like, not the only thing that I do, you know. And I think my power comes from, like, actually going back and doing stand-up was huge for me.
Mm.
And it was before I did this movie, and it, like, tapped me back in. Like, it felt like when people say, like, oh, I'll always have that. Like, I'm not like that. Like, I don't perform that often, but it tapped me back into, like, just, like, that's, like, the most pure form of, like, creating something on your own and performing it.
So it was huge for you in that sense. There was sort of an artistic purity to it that was really fulfilling and made you happy.
It was recalibrating, you know, and like getting you back, like you talk about, like, decision making and being confident. Like, you have to tap back into that intuitive power that's deep within you.
And you were kind of getting, you were kind of going astray of that. Like,
well, you know, when you make a feature film and it doesn't really do anything for you, it's really hard, you know?
Yeah, that's what I meant. What about, like, get people seeing? It's like you put your heart and soul into it.
Yeah, like,
you start to question, why am I doing this?
There could be a book written about people trying to make their second feature, because I had this one feature and it was at Sundance, and, you know, you have people at the publicity company saying, like, oh, you're I'm busy working that day, and they laugh, and, oh, you're not going to have to work after this, and you're just like, what are you talking about? You are a stupid person. Like, you have no fucking clue. Like, it's just so hard. You just got to be like, you just got to keep your nose to the grindstone.
Yeah, that's what Jay was saying in his podcast. He said his brother Mark is really good at just keeping the foot on the pedal.
Yeah.
You know, because I think we all...
You can't get confident and start drinking the Kool-Aid, even if you do get accolades. And if you do get, like, a hit a little bit, and, like, you know, not that great. Like, my movie got out on iTunes and everything. People knew of me. It helped kind of get me into this movie.
Mm.
But, you know, it was just like, okay. Like, you just have to think about, like, I should have been more happy with just, like, the work. and like focused on
that. I know, but everybody says that, but that's so hard to, I mean,
it's hard.
Just enjoy the process. I've had a million acting teachers.
Or just be proud of it. Like,
just be proud of it. Like, this film. Auditioning is another chance to act. It's like, okay, but you know what? Yeah. You fucking want to, like, you want to have a, you want to score every once in
a
while.
Yeah, it's a whole game you have to play where you don't care, but you care, obviously, you know? Yeah. I mean, with auditioning. But I mean, with that movie, Bass Ackwards, I am very proud of it, but I guess I should have been even more. All my films I want to make something that I want to watch.
Yes.
And I want to watch again.
Yes.
And I think the movie I just shot is like that. And the Manson movie is like that, even though I didn't direct it or edit it. But it was like, I was such a collaborator in it. It was like I don't even care if it didn't, if it just was at South By and didn't get shown.
Yeah.
I'd be like, that was an amazing experience.
Yeah, you're clearly on the right path because you're sort of doing work that you care about, that's passionate. You're working with great people. All of those are indicators of continued success and good things to come. Like, even though that's how I look at, I have to, because, you know, it's sort of like sometimes you get so immersed and you're like, oh, well, that didn't, whatever, and then you step back and go, wait a minute,
don't,
like,
you have?
Yeah, like holy shit, I know this person and I just did that, and you go back and look at a reel of your work and like, well, that was really fucking good. Like, you need to kind of, my wife is good about like giving me that perspective, you know.
That's so good.
I think we all do it.
Yeah, I had one line on a TV show recently that I did because it was like just such an amazing director, and like I, you know, but I thought it might have been more. They didn't tell you anything; it was all hush hush. And then, you know, my girlfriend, I was like, I texted her and I was like, oh, I'm kind of bummed. It's only one line, I found out. And she goes, but you have one line on this amazing show.
Yeah,
you know,
they're really great about that.
Yeah,
and you need that. True. I think that's why people end up with each other. You know, my wife's like the eternal optimist, and I'm like, it's funny, I think we're optimists and so is Jay and Mark, but it's pessimism that drives the optimism, if that's a weird, I don't know if that makes sense.
It wouldn't work without the pessimism.
You know what I mean?
Jay is super, can be super negative, but that's what like kind of fuels him.
Yeah, it's never good enough. I mean, that's like going back to Letterman, they said that about him, like it was just never like any true great artist, there's that sort of struggle and whatever, but is Shaunzi, just real quick, is there something deeply personal about that character for you, like other than, because you're such a guy of substance that I imagine it's not just a feature about a guy who just doesn't get it and is completely unaware, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think like just when you're, I don't know, I have problems with depression and like just all like piling up all that dark energy and putting into this character of just like where he kind of does, where there's a power from like being really ugly, you know, when you feel just like ugly and just totally unlovable.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a way to deal with the depression. I think it's a form of anger that comes out of the depression, right? Like you're just kind of like,
yeah. And it's like, you got to try to find a way, a moving energy from depression, cause it's not moving.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think doing that character did that, and it expresses, you know, I don't know. So there, an acting teacher one time said like, oh, you would be really good playing like a really sad character, or like something like the Elephant Man or something. So I feel like Shaunzi's my version of that. I know that seems pretentious, but
I'm gonna look for you in the next incarnation of the Elephant Man.
My two favorite movies are probably the Elephant Man and Step Brothers. So Shaunzi's somewhere
that's
in the middle.
Hilarious.
Yeah,
you must have been pissed when they gave it to Bradley Cooper on Broadway and not you, Elephant Man.
Was it good?
I didn't see it. I mean, I like I'm just saying because your teacher said that, you're that should have been me.
That could have been me. Not that beautiful guy.
Yeah. Well, the depression probably gets kicked in because of work, right? Like all of us. Like if things aren't going the way we want them to or whatever, and then you start wallowing in it. But so go see Manson Family Vacation. That is out on Netflix now. People should get checked out.
Not right
now. Yeah,
no,
it is. When this is.
Oh, when, okay, when great.
Is, yeah,
okay.
It's out.
Sorry.
No, that's all good. And, and tell me when the Shaunzi movie, what's it called again?
Rainbow Time.
When do you expect
Hopefully, you know, film festivals and early next year.
Okay.
So,
and people can find you on Twitter and any of that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Linus Phillips. All right, man. Thank you. It's great to see you again. I could say again because I feel like we crossed paths. And I really think you're doing really cool work. So
thanks for
watching. We found the path, man.
Trying.
Just don't fuck it up. No, I'm just kidding.
Right? Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Yeah. Appreciate you being on.